you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we will study Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. Last week we talked about unity in the body of Christ so that we may edify the church, to build it up, to help one another, to lift up and not to tear down, but to be helpful one to another as members of the same body. The Lord wants us to grow and be established in the truth of Christ, and that is for believers to walk in the Spirit and not in the lust of the flesh. In Christ, we're rooted and grounded in Him with knowledge, love, and faith, and we grow to maturity and flourish in every grace that He's given us. We also said last week that we have a duty to love one another and to be in understanding, to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And today we're going to discuss what that means. We have a duty to be renewed in the spirit of our mind because we are created in righteousness and true holiness when we are born again. In verse 17 through 24, Paul gives us commandments to live a life free of immorality. We have moved beyond duties to commandments to live moral lives as children of God. It is a requirement. Does that mean that we're holier because we live good moral lives? No, we're holy because of the righteousness of Christ who lives in our soul when we're born again. We are as holy then when we are born again as we will ever be. Well, then why are we trying to live a holy life if we're already holy when we're born again? There's a difference between the soul and the body. When Jesus redeems our soul, He makes it pure and holy. Otherwise, we'll never be without spot and without wrinkle, and we'll never be holy, as is commanded in 1 Peter 1 and 16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Even though we strive to be holy in conversation, as Peter exhorted us to do in that scripture, we cannot be holy without the power of Christ living within us. It takes the power of the Spirit to make us holy. We can live good moral lives and yet still not be holy. The key is in the power of choice. When a person receives the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, God presents them with a choice as to whom they will give their allegiance to, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of this world. It's a soul choice. The souls of sinners belongs to the kingdom of this world, which is the kingdom of darkness. They walk in that darkness, and they do the will of it, as Paul says here in this chapter about the Gentiles of his day. And most of America is walking in that darkness, and their souls belong to that kingdom. But God has given us a great gift when He sent people to tell us of the gospel and to help us make a choice as to whose kingdom we will serve. We have the power of choice. It's a great privilege to be able to choose one's own destiny, but that's the power God has given each of us. It's really up to us as to where we will spend eternity. All souls ultimately belong to God to do as He wills, but when we choose Him as Lord over us, then our soul belongs exclusively to Him. To give you an example, I have a bank account at the local bank, and I put my money in that account, what little I have. But there are many people walking the streets who have money in their pockets who have never opened an account and have never put money in that bank. My bank's not responsible for their money because they have no rights to it. The person didn't choose to open an account there, and they didn't make a deposit. They may be robbed of their money, but they can't hold my bank responsible for it because they didn't trust my bank and put their money in there. The same is true of the power of choice. The person who chooses the Lord opens an account with Him. We trust Him with our souls. He now is responsible for my soul to present it holy and blameless before the Father because He knows that I can never make it holy on my own. I can only deposit faith and trust in the power of the Spirit that lives within me to present me blameless before the Father. You know that my bank is federally backed by federal funds so that I'm guaranteed to not lose the money that I deposit there, but only up to a point. But that's not true with the Lord. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus for the keeping of our souls, we have the backing of the Father, and there's no greater guarantee. There is not a devil in hell that can take me out of his hand when I have confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I walk in the Spirit in His name and in fellowship with Him. It is my choice to live and walk in the kingdom of God, but it is He who sustains me. The only way we can be justified before the Lord to be holy in our souls is to receive by faith the righteousness of Christ to live in our soul. As we have studied, when the Lord redeems our soul, He seals it so that it is protected. But even though the soul of the redeemed is pure and holy, the body wars against the soul to try to steal what we have in Christ there. When we say body, we are speaking of the heart, mind, and the physical body, and not the soul. So we walk in holiness in our minds, because we're trying to keep our body under subjection. We're trying to keep and hold on to what God has already done in our soul and to prove that Christ lives there. When we studied Romans chapters 1 and 2, Paul told us how wicked the mind and heart of the human nature is. In verse 25 through 31 of our lesson, it describes what the flesh does. The flesh is called the human nature, the old man, nature of sin, or the sin of Adam. The human nature is totally depraved, and it's in bondage to sin. Man's nature naturally rebels against his Creator, and therefore has nothing within him that can commend himself to God. Without divine intervention from his Creator, man is not able to reconcile himself to God. This nature was inherited from Adam, and it's lawless, and it brings eternal judgment from God. And it's the root cause of personal sins that we commit against God. So we have two kinds of sin that we need deliverance from. We need deliverance from the sin of Adam and the human nature, and the personal sins that we commit. That's why we have two works of the Holy Spirit that cleanses us. The work of justification cleanses the soul once and for all, and the work of sanctification cleanses the mind and the heart on a daily basis. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit that is done in a yielded vessel who is dying daily to selfish desires. When we studied sanctification in Romans, we found that it has two steps. First, we have to mortify the flesh, which is to kill the desires that are unnatural to God, and to put off the old man. And next, we are to awake to righteousness, which is to put on the new man. Now, how do we rid ourselves of the sin of Adam and the personal sins that we commit? Do we repent of Adam's sin? No, we can't repent of the human nature because we still have it. To be purged from this sin is to accept by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and be justified by His blood. This is called justification, when we're cleansed from the unrighteousness of Adam's sin. Do we repent of sins that we have personally committed? Yes, we must repent and turn from those personal sins. He says if we repent of our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit cleanses our heart and mind every day when we pray and we read His Word and we draw closer to the Lord in fellowship with Him. And many think that God hasn't really saved them because they still have sinful tendencies. But that's because we still have that fleshly nature that wants us to do evil. Is evil present in the body of the redeemed? When the Holy Spirit redeems a soul in justification, that soul becomes as pure and holy as Adam's soul was before the fall. Adam and Eve were innocent before the fall, and they didn't even know evil. But after the fall, they knew evil, and since then, all of mankind has known evil in their mind and in their hearts. And they will know evil for as long as we are in this body of corruption, or until the Lord redeems our body in the rapture. Even in our day, the born again has knowledge of evil in their minds, which makes our mind different from the mind that Adam had before the fall. But in Christ, we have a new mind that is like the pure mind that Adam had before the fall, in that we have an innocence of spirit when we walk in the Holy Spirit. Now the soul of Adam before the fall can be compared to the soul of the born again. When we're born again, we have an innocence in our soul that is also like Adam's. We have love, peace, and kindness because of the work of the Spirit. All the fruits of the Spirit are at work in our lives. Therefore, we are in an innocent state with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're made right with Him here on this earth as we live. That is called walking in the Spirit in the work of sanctification. So we conclude that the knowledge of evil is present in the redeemed, as Paul tells us in Romans 7:24-25. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The knowledge of evil in the mind of the redeemed does not prevent him from choosing Christ over evil. It is Jesus who delivers those who serve the law of God with their minds by rejecting evil. And that trumps the law of the flesh, or the knowledge of evil that is in the mind and heart of the body. When we are given a new body in the rapture, we'll never know about evil anymore. It will never enter our glorified mind. We will be free at last from evil and the knowledge of it. The Salvation Army was founded by a man named Booth. His teaching said that believers were soldiers in God's army who are fighting against the evil forces of the enemies of our soul. If you don't believe you have an enemy, just try to do something for the Lord and see if you don't have a battle with spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to tell our mind and our thoughts to line up with the Word of God. I have to pull down imaginations and strongholds so that they won't control the way that I think. The mind is the battleground of this warfare. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have the Word and the Holy Spirit that puts love in our heart for God and for others. And without love, there's no way to win this battle. In chapter 4, he talks about the sins of society and how that God is not taking lightly these sins that bring the wrath of God that is prevalent in our nation today. In verses 25 and 30, he tells us not to lie, not to be angry, and don't give any place to the devil, and don't steal. He told us not to have any corrupt communication come out of our mouth because it grieves the Holy Spirit by whom we are sealed until the day of judgment. He told us to put away all bitterness, clamor, and malice. In verse 17 through 19, Paul tells us not to walk in fleshly things as the Gentiles walk. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Paul tells us, don't walk as these Gentiles whose hearts are darkened. In these verses, Paul is describing Gentiles of his day who were a miserable lot. But is he describing Gentiles of America today? America, for the most part, is a Gentile nation. Paul tells us, don't walk as they walk. He said they're only out for self-gain. Is this America today? The Gentiles' understanding was darkened, and it's not because they didn't know to do good, but they were willful and ignorant. They were ignorant because they wanted to be ignorant, and they mocked. They mocked at everything holy, good, and kind. Is that America today? Their conscience was seared, and they didn't know right from wrong. Is this America today? So when we follow Christ, we must separate ourselves from this type of lifestyle. Christ has not taught us to live in greed, anger, strife, and sinful things. And the world has no sense of their sin or of the danger of their case. They take it lightly. They don't think these things are sins. They don't believe they have offended God, and in some cases, they don't even believe in God. But God has expectations. He's loving and kind, but He has expectations of how He wants us to live. We live in a very deceitful time, and it seems manipulation is the theme of the day. It's everywhere from judges to commerce. The political world is rife with it. Even the pulpit is not exempt from distortions of the truth because they want your money. It's a deceitful world, and greed has taken over. Misrepresentation and dishonesty are seen everywhere. But as believers, we must be truthful and be honest with ourselves. Walk circumspectly, the scriptures say, which means to examine ourselves to see if we are in Christ or not. The truth is not in the world because they teach you that everything is okay, but Jesus says, no, you must walk in holiness. Jesus says, come unto me, I'm the door, and I'll give you eternal life, but we have to do as he says. He tells us to put away lying and to speak the truth, and don't be angry. Anger lets the devil into your door, and it causes so many sins and problems. It can steal the blessings the Lord gives us. Anger is something, if you've not experienced it and have not had a battle with it, you might not understand it. But anger can control you and can take you over. It's something that we have to guard against. We have to put that imagination down and set it aside. Anger always corrupts because you feel that you've been wronged and you are a victim. That's a bad mentality to be in. We are not victims. We are more than conquerors in Christ. So he says for us to look to him and to be a conqueror with him. The things that we have been angry with in the past, after a few years, fade away, and for the most part, we can't even remember them. I've been extremely angry in the past, and when I look back, I wonder, why was I so angry? Why did it upset me so much? A lot of it has to do with rejection, that victim mentality. It's really not about us, though, is it? It's about the Lord and being with him. He says we're not victims, but we are heirs and joint heirs in him. Don't be a victim. The Lord can't do good for us if we have a victim mentality. We have to get out of it. The longer we talk about being a victim, the worse it gets. And the moment we tell someone how we've been wronged is a moment wasted, because it goes nowhere. All it does is get the blood pressure up, and when people stand there and look at you, they really don't hear you. They don't care. You might say, well, I'm venting. I'm getting some relief. Well, it's not relief. It's making it worse. I know, because I've been there. The more I talked about it, the more of a victim I became. We are to speak in love and not in dissension. We think we tell someone off because it's the truth, and the truth hurts, we say. But the truth has to be spoken in love and be truthful one to another. Be honest. Truth has to be enjoined also with peace. We might get our point across when we speak in anger to tell someone off, but we might lose a sister or a brother. We are also not to take revenge, even in the Lord's name. In the book of Acts is recorded an incident that the Apostle Paul had with a particular man who was trying to hinder his witness. He said these words, "The Lord reward him according to his deeds, which were evil." And David said the same thing in Psalms, "The Lord reward according to their deeds." There have been times I wanted to pray that prayer when someone has done me wrong, but I could never bring myself to pray it. Actually, that is not a prayer of revenge. It is a prophecy. When you can pray that prayer in prophecy and not in revenge to get back at the people, to threaten them with the Lord, then it can be prayed. But I've not been able to pray that. The only thing I've been able to say is, Lord, forgive them and God help them. They will be rewarded according to their deeds, even without my prayer, because God has a reckoning day, recompense, or a reward for our good deeds. We are to put off bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Be kind one to another, forgive one another, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith we are sealed until the day of redemption. We're to put on the Spirit of God and die daily to the things of the flesh, and let them be no more part of our life. We're to put on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against these there is no law. So we have to put on this new man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The main theme of Ephesians is that the church is saved by grace, and it will be applicable throughout all ages. And the need for grace for the believer has never been more evident than when we read the deplorable condition of the human nature that is in the believer. And though we know we're prone to failure in the flesh, Paul lets us know in verse 32 that the Lord forgives us our sins when we are forgiving of others. The last verse says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now let us read in the New Living Translation, Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. With the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. And since you've heard all about Him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. And instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. You must display a new nature because you're a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others in need. And don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. And get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we're so thankful for your plan. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have cleansed our souls and made us holy. And we're so thankful, Father, that you've given us victory over the flesh when we walk in your Spirit. We can be victorious in you, Lord, and we praise you for it. We praise you for the strength and the mercy and the grace that you have shined upon us. We ask, Lord, that you will keep us by your power and by your Spirit, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Lady.